Good afternoon. It is Tuesday, October.
In the meeting now.
Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, October 10th, 2006, at approximately 2 p.m. It is the time and place for the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission meeting. We are here in room 468 in the State Capitol Building in Pierre. I am Bob Starr, Chairman of the Commission, and with me are Commissioners Duffy Johnson and Gary Hansen. And with the soothing interlude that we have hung in the background, I'm going to check and see if anyone is on the line. Has anyone phoned in to participate or to listen in via conference call? And the only person that we did have that is indicating that they're going to call in was Kelly Hildebrand from the Argus Leader, and I believe that she knows what we are about to do, which is have a short delay and come back and have the meeting at 3 o'clock. With that in mind, though, I will call the meeting to order, and the plan then is because of a flight delay of...
You are the only person in the meeting now.
Because of a flight delay of one of the participants, the commission will come back at 3 p.m. Central Time and continue on with the meeting. So with that, do we need a motion, or then I would move that the commission recess until 3 p.m. Thank you. So we will be in recess until 3 p.m. Thanks. Good afternoon. This is the continuation of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission meeting. And what we did was we called the meeting to order at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and then we immediately went into recess until 3 o'clock, which is now. And we have a court reporter present here in Pierce, so if anyone's participating telephonically, please take note of that if you intend to make comments. And I don't think there is anyone who will be doing so, but just for the record, I want to note that. And we should note that this is the continuation of the time and place for the ad hoc commission meeting of October 10th, 2006. And with that... I think what we'll do is look to see if either staff or Northwestern would like to proceed. And Mr. Smith, who do you think is appropriate to have go first here? And I should do this, too. And because we now have a court reporter, we didn't at 2 o'clock. I should note, my name is Bob Starr. I'm chairman of the commission. And with me are Commissioners Dusty Johnson and Gary Hansen as well. So we have all three commissioners here in Pierre in room 468 in the State Capitol Building. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What you have before you and what we have posted on the website a few hours ago, and for those of you out there that might be listening, I'll tell you where it is. Because this doesn't involve a South Dakota docketed proceeding, we did not post this in the under a South Dakota docket file. It is posted under the addresses, I guess, if you want to call it that, of Commission Actions, Commission Dockets, but under a separate category called FERC Cases. And if you look under there, this happens to be the only FERC case filing that we have under there, so you can access it at that location. I know it, maybe he wants to make an appearance here. Tom Knapp from Northwestern and Pam Bonrud from Northwestern are here today as well. Most of the actual dirty work of this, I guess, the legwork of this, of negotiating this settlement of the FERC proceeding, has been done by Mr. Knapp and I. We've been at it for a long time now. Over, I guess the exchange of, I don't know, what would you say, Tom? Probably 20 or more drafts at least. Those discussions have involved everything from very significant philosophical and practical issues down to a lot of niddling over wordsmithing, etc. And at long last, following one last short hiatus last week, we've come up with what we think is an acceptable resolution of the PUC, of the South Dakota PUC's involvement in the FERC proceeding. I don't know to what extent the commissioners want me to go over the details of what's in here. If you want to, I'll walk you through it, and we'll discuss the various provisions of it. Otherwise, you have a copy, and if you don't want me to do that, I won't.
As far as I'm concerned, at this point in time, I don't think we need the step-by-step presentation, but I'll certainly defer to my colleagues if they'd like that.
Yeah, I think we certainly have all reviewed the agreement, John, but maybe if there's anything in particular, any concerns you'd have with the document, any provisions that you think are particularly out of the ordinary. I mean, if there's anything you want to bring to light, certainly do so.
Okay, well, maybe I'll I want to state this at the outset, too. We do have a pending docket pending before the before you here at the state level, before the South Dakota PUC. That docket is GE06-001, and that is the docket entitled Petition for Declaratory Ruling and for Transaction Approval if Jurisdiction Found. That's a filing made by the Northwestern entities and the BVI entities. First of all, requesting your decision on whether or not you do have jurisdiction and if you find that you do to approve the transaction. This particular settlement document here is not a settlement docket of that proceeding. This is not a document here that where you are agreeing to a settlement of something in which you're a decision maker or adjudicator. We intervened as a state commission in the FERC proceeding. Because there is Section 203 approval required of FERC. That's really unquestioned in the case. And secondly, under our rather odd set of statutes, we have that provision, Section 38 of our electrical utility code, public utility code, that under some circumstances deprives you of decision-making authority in those cases where FERC does have authority. At least that's what it appears to do. And so we felt it prudent to get involved in the FERC case, make our concerns known via filings to FERC. And in the course of that process, various people, particularly Mike Hansen and Tom of Northwestern, we had discussions with them relatively early on, and we talked over the possibility of whether it might not be, since Northwestern seemed amenable via various commitments it made in its FERC filings themselves, and also in discussions with me as to whether or not there was room to reach an agreement between our two sides, at least, in the FERC case. And if you recall, then, on August 8th, Mike Hansen and Tom Knapp, and I think Mike Seidel, and I can't remember if anybody else was there or not, appeared before you in a public session and outlined their view of the transaction, and made various commitments publicly on the record before you. And really what this document does is it takes pretty much its basis are those things. Those things that were publicly discussed before you at that time and that were made as public commitments in the FERC filings themselves by Northwestern. And that's a lot of what you see in here. A lot of what you see are references to commitments that were made, and then in those sections that do not reference specific commitment documents, those are largely grew out of those things that President Hansen and others from Northwestern committed to do at their meeting before you. And that's really what we have in here. I mean, we have things related to hopefully preserving the company's assets and its resources needed to provide service in South Dakota. Some things related to corporate governance and the maintenance of some level of a separate and somewhat independent governing body for Northwestern as opposed to BBI. And I think that's important. Some commitments to maintain the level of service adequacy that they have in South Dakota now, and actually Northwestern, contrary to some rumblings out there, actually has a very good reliability record here. They have one of the best complaint records that we have in the state. We like that, and I guess we'd like to see it continue. And that means, as well as just infrastructure, we'd like to see a sufficient operational level management be maintained here in South Dakota to ensure that decisions can be made here quickly, that there's some loyalty, I guess if you want to call it that, of the operations management to maintaining and running a good ship here. Allow the company to respond rapidly to weather and other emergency situations. And that's really most of what's in here. We do have a provision in here that where they commit to maintaining a corporate headquarters presence here for some 3+ years, about 3 years, maybe slightly more than that. And that's the bulk of what we have in the agreement.
Thanks very much, Mr. Smith. Yeah.
Mr. Knapp, would you like to address the commission?
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Thomas Knapp, General Counsel for Northwestern Corporation. Thank you very much for the accommodation. Appreciate that. My flight was delayed. I was the culprit in the delay at this commission meeting, so I appreciate your accommodation to that. What Mr. Smith has indicated to be the outline of the settlement agreement is essentially correct. We have, as Mike Hansen indicated to the commission, when we were before the commissioners and others back in August, that the company view of the transaction was that what the commission and others, customers and others, ratepayers, know about Northwestern now is what will be Northwestern after the transaction. And so in line with those, with that structure of the transaction and the commitments we had made both at FERC in our filings and in the statements that we made to the commission, we and the commission's, I think, view at that time, if we could put together a settlement agreement that dealt with the state issues, that we should try to do that. John is correct that we spent a lot of time back and forth on these issues, and I think we put together an agreement that reflects the state concerns, and we've dealt with them in a manner that's set forth in the settlement agreement. So I don't have anything in addition to what John said. If the commissioners have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. With that, I would ask the commission, I guess, to approve the transaction and approve the settlement agreement and, I guess, make it a public record. And then eventually, I think we probably have some discussion with the commission and staff to make the settlement agreement part of the South Dakota docket at some point in time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Knapp, and I certainly want to thank our staff for all the time and effort put into the work on the settlement agreement. Mr. Smith, I have a procedural question. With the settlement agreement, the signatures on the agreement are you as general counsel and Ms. Van Gerpen as executive director. Do we need to, if someone is going to produce a motion, do they need to have instruction to that effect, or, you know, as opposed to the regular PUC type of motion where the commissioners actually sign?
Yes, I do think you do. I'll tell you what, and I wrestled with this and how to deal with this. We're in a legal proceeding, you know, at FERC, which is a little different than the normal things we do here. Normally, when you have a settlement agreement and a legal proceeding, it's usually the attorneys that sign. Because of the statutes we have involving the special status of the executive director and the statutes involving delegation by the commission, it occurred to me that we at least ought to have the executive director sign. If you'll note, you do have Mike Hansen and Mr. Bolton are both executive officers of their companies, and they're going to sign for them. And that's really the role. I mean, that's what the executive director here is the executive officer of the commission. you guys are the equivalent of the board of directors. And so I think that's what it boils down to, is authorizing then the executive director and me to sign on behalf of the commission. And again, it's in a case that's in Washington, D.C. It's not here. So it's kind of an unusual situation in that regard. I guess maybe one thing you might want to talk about with the company, and maybe Mr. Knapp can address this. What we're asking the commission to do today is approve the agreement and approve the execution of it by the executive director and myself on behalf of you. It might be appropriate to inquire of Mr. Knapp where the applicants, the BBI entities in Northwestern, are with respect to ratification and approval of the document on their end, and what kind of time frame we might be looking at for execution on their side, if we're to go forward today, if you end up approving it today.
Thank you, Mr. Knapp. If you'd address that, please. Thank you.
Yes, commissioners. In terms of the time frame, once the commission has given its approval for the executive director and the general counsel to execute the agreement, both Northwestern Corporation and BBI stand ready to sign the agreement. So we would be able to accomplish that within a matter of day or days. I assume we can accept facsimile signatures, and then we'll get an original signature as promptly as we can. Mr. Bolton from Steve Bolton, the CEO of BBI, is actually going to be in Sioux Falls and Montana next week. So if we can get a signature beforehand, but by fax, and then we can have an original here when he arrives. So that should take care of that issue.
And I guess I'll state the obvious. If for whatever reason, and obviously it sounds like it's not anticipated, if somebody didn't sign, then the agreement's non-binding unless all the parties that are listed on the agreement sign. Is that correct?
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right. I just have one issue.
For those listening on the internet, we would just note that the dead air isn't because you've gone off the line. It's because Mr. Knapp has taken a moment to speak to Mr. Smith.
I was just bringing to the attention of Mr. Smith one issue that I just want to raise, just put on the record for the commissioners, and that is the interveners in the South Dakota docket and the interveners in the FERC docket are somewhat similar. At one point in time, I understood there was some discussion that one of the commissioners may recuse themselves. And so just to make sure we don't have any issues with respect to anyone coming back later and saying that that through some oversight a commissioner voted when they shouldn't have voted, I just wanted to make sure we were all aware that the interventions in the South Dakota docket pretty much mirror the interventions in the FERC docket. So I just want to raise that and bring that to the commission's attention.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions or comments from commissioners or our acting advisors?
I do. I have just a couple of questions of Mr. Smith, and I imagine anyone can answer the question. But I just wanted to make sure, since I understand there have been some, I don't know that there's been considerable discussion, but which would result in considerable changes, but there certainly has been considerable sending of messages back and forth over the past week.
Mm-hmm.
When we were gathered to look at this last week in Sioux Falls.
Right.
And I just want to make certain that some of the key components are still intact that we had discussed at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had an opportunity to discuss that with you, but I understand that the agreement requires ring fencing at this juncture, that Northwestern will have financial protections to place to keep utility assets from being used to finance non-utility assets and operations. Mm-hmm. Is that still the case? That there's still a...
It is, yes. Those are included actually in two or three different places in there, some of them less obvious than others. There are specific provisions in this agreement that involve the encumbrance of utility assets to finance non-utility operations. There are covenants in here that involve the transfer of assets from Northwestern to an affiliated entity, BBI in particular. We also have incorporated by reference in here reference to the commitments that were made in the application before FERC, which include ring fencing commitments, and also certain of the covenants that were contained in the Montana bankruptcy settlement agreement that again involve certain covenants to hopefully protect against the unwise or use of utility assets to finance other things.
That includes the sale of those assets?
It does. At least, yes, it does. It includes the sale of those assets in at least under certain circumstances.
Okay. Do you know if there's any changes that were made in regards to the reliability standards that...
No, there were none.
The only... you're shaking your head, which wasn't going to work for the court reporter. But
no, there were none that I can recall. The only change that was really made of any substance, and that was the last thing we were talking about, really, before the last session... and what we had not resolved, and Northwestern agreed to our treatment of it, so it's now resolved. And that was the issue of whether the agreement should have an absolute sunset deadline on it and just disappear after 3, 4, 5 years. We decided on another approach, and I regret to say I can't remember the paragraph number, but... The approach that was decided on is if either the companies or you determine at some point in the future that the agreement is producing an unreasonable or imprudent or unlawful result or is likely to within the foreseeable future, if you can see it coming, that either the applicants, any of them, or you, could come back here before this commission, subject to full rights of legal review, appeal rights, before the circuit and Supreme Court, and we would deal with it that way, rather than trying to predict the future. And I think, I know there was hesitation on the part of Northwestern to agree to that, but I think after some discussion, we went over the fact that the company is in here all the time requesting and usually receiving approval of tariff changes and that to react to changes in circumstances. We just approved two of those on Thursday, last Thursday. And those involved, for example, allowing Northwestern to offer an economic development rate to an ethanol plant, a large facility in Redfield, that we hope will actually be a net very positive thing for the company over time as they obtain more favorable load factors and so on. And I think we've had that kind of relationship over the years, and I don't think we see this agreement as etching things in stone so completely that we don't probably see the need as we go along for adjustments to allow us to react to what happens out there. Any other thoughts, Tom?
Tom Knapp, I don't have any other thoughts. It's paragraph 19 of the settlement agreement that John was just alluding to, and I think both sides recognize that there should be an opportunity in the future in the event
in both situations, both the Commission and Northwestern and BBI, that if there is a material change or there is some change in the law that indicates that both sides need to reevaluate certain of these provisions or the entire agreement, there should be an ability for either Northwestern or BBI or the Commission to be able to reevaluate that and either make changes to the agreement or to terminate the agreement based on those factors. And so that was our compromise on the sunset provision that we had discussed earlier.
Thank you.
The only other change in it was really just a language change. That was in paragraph 6, Northwestern had wanted the introduction of some language. I think that Mike Hansen, president of Northwestern's request, involving a little further definition of which assets it is that are subject to the particular sale restriction in that paragraph. We agreed to language between then and now, resolving that. And that's really the only thing I can think of. The other changes that were made were extremely minor and editorial and typographical in nature since then.
So there's been no changes. I'm sure we're all particularly interested in this agreement and interested in the relationship with the consumers, but also with the history of some corporations, the commitment to employee and employee benefits. And
those are in there. Those remain in there in the form that they've been in there for some time now. Those are in a couple of places. The one that's notable, I guess, is paragraph 5, and that does contain certain protections related to employees and retiree benefits, that kind of thing. There is a limitation on those commitments, to some extent, the limitation that's in there is the limitation that's contained in the agreement and plan of merger. They don't go on forever. And to some extent, it's probably not prudent to do that. And I think we were willing to accept that things change. I mean, the laws change, circumstances change, and it seemed at least to us that level of commitment that was made in there was reasonable in that context.
And in that regard, for duration, the portion that discusses that Northwestern will maintain fully staffed operational capability in South Dakota, including personnel necessary to provide planning, budgeting, management, mm-hmm. operation, and maintenance functions, mm-hmm. is there a duration to that?
No, there is not. That would be subject, again, to the general provision number 18 or 19, I guess it is. If somebody wanted to change that, including the company or the commission in the future, they would have to come back before the commission and seek your decision on that. And again, subject to approval, if the commission acts unreasonably, the companies will have recourse to the court system to obtain a review of that.
Thank you. And my final question would be, one of the things that we were curious and interested about was whether Northwestern would maintain its corporate headquarters in South Dakota, and the agreements that we have looked at up to this juncture have all included that as part of it. And looking for you for...
It does. It still includes that. It does include that with a time limitation on that. And that time limitation is, and I'm going to go on recollection here, June 30th, I think, 2010, or 3 years following consummation of the merger, whichever is later. So we're looking at about a three-plus year duration of that. Again, it was talked about whether that should be perpetual, but companies evolve over time. At this point in time, we have to be realistic. I think we like having the headquarters here. It's been good, but things evolve over time, and at some point it may or may not be prudent for that structure to continue to exist. if it's not good for ratepayers at some point, it's not necessarily something that should be maintained forever, necessarily, again. And I don't know that we can foresee that far out. But again, the operational level capability in South Dakota, which mainly means those people located in the center in Huron and in the other James River towns primarily, the agreement is perpetual with respect to that, and hopefully that will result in a high level of professional and operational capability here forever.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Tom.
Chairman, I don't see any other questions, although I guess I would look to staff, see if they have any before I...
Fire away.
I mean, I would just note, I mean, I thought Commissioner Hansen asked a lot of very good questions to kind of highlight some of the real strengths of this agreement. And obviously, with recent history in Northwestern, there are a lot of South Dakotans who are going to be pretty interested in this. What I like about this agreement is that I think it guarantees that Northwestern is going to be a traditional asset-based utility company that's going to be focused on, you know, supplying electricity and natural gas to South Dakota consumers. And that, you know, listen, the day-to-day decisions, regardless of who, you know, owns Northwestern, the day-to-day decisions are still going to be made by South Dakotans for South Dakotans. I think that is, I think that's great news for South Dakota, and I appreciate all the staff's efforts to get us here. I appreciate Northwestern's willingness to make these commitments to show that they do want to focus on being a traditional utility focused on South Dakota customers. And with that, I would move that the commission approve the settlement agreement and that we authorize the executive director and general counsel to execute that agreement with regard, obviously, to the FERC proceeding only.
I'd like to echo what Commissioner Johnson has said. There's a lot to like in this agreement, and I sincerely appreciate the dedication that the staff, the tremendous amount of work that staff did, and no doubt mirroring on Northwestern side the significant amount of work that you had to do as well in that negotiation process. I'm pleased to see that one of the many things that we have on our plate, at least John's plate, is coming to fruition to an extent. And I'd like to compliment everyone that's been involved in this process for that dedication, for the amount of the work product that you were able to produce, and getting through the challenging points that you did get through. I think this is going to benefit significantly the citizens of South Dakota. It eliminates a lot of the questions, concerns that certainly even Northwest employees might have, and the citizens of South Dakota certainly have. So I appreciate very much that you were able to accomplish that, and I will second the motion.
And this is Commissioner Saar. I'm going to abstain on the motion because I'm recusing myself from the case. Thank you. With that, is there anything else to come before the commission for this ad hoc meeting? All right. Well, seeing none, we stand adjourned. Thank you.